It's the Social Geeks episode 42, new. This episode is brought to you by Mozy Pro. Protect your data, protect your business with Mozy from EMC, the best way to back up your environment. Welcome, everybody. It's episode 42 of the Social Geeks, back on time right before the holiday. We were thinking about a year in review and said, screw that. Because those are boring as could be. There's too much recent news. So we have Mr. Murray himself. Robert is here.
Hello.
And a newcomer, so you can introduce yourself, Michael. But Michael Cummings is here. Is it Mike or Michael?
Hey.
I don't want to screw up.
Either one. Doesn't really matter to me.
Doesn't matter.
I have a lot of people call me Mike. A lot of people call me Michael. So.
Do you want to tell them anything special about what you do or anything?
Oh, special. Well, I'm actually a professional photographer.
Nice.
And I just started networking myself at a lot of the tech events a long time ago. And now I run a couple different things. I'm actually, my newest project that I'm working on a travel website called Explore There. And okay. I've just been trying to do some writing and got some people writing for me and working on that. So
we will pimp the heck out of you. So we'll put
sweet. Sounds good.
Put the link at the end. We'll get all the info again, but we'll put it in the show notes and everything else, but we'll pimp the heck out of you. So Robert, once again, took the initiative, since we go every 2 weeks or so, took the initiative and made another list. Which one do you want to do first, Robert, since you took the list this time?
I would say let's do Facebook timeline first.
Facebook timeline it is. So yeah. The timeline launched. It's all over the web. Everyone knows. Both of you already have it in place. You're ready to go with it?
Yes.
Yeah, I've been using mine for about 2 or 3 months now.
Okay, so you went ahead and did the early launch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so did I.
So let me ask this. When you guys did it, before you would jump into look and feel, did you go back and revisit any previous settings and posts and things and reset things before you jump to the timeline? So we're talking security or who can see things like that.
I personally didn't really. My profile is pretty much all public. Okay. So anybody can really follow my stuff. I'm not really too worried about the things that I post on my Facebook wall. I mean, I'm under the thought process of if I'm willing to put it on the internet, then I mean somebody's going to find it eventually anyway. So might as well make it public.
True. Do you have? No, let me ask. Do you have a public page and a private one since you're a photographer, or just your own personal?
I have a fan page for my for my photography, but most of my stuff goes on my personal profile.
Okay, that makes. I was just curious the way you said it. I was curious if you actually did it that way or not. So. What about yours, Robert?
Well, I've always had like a bunch of different lists and stuff on mine.
Yep.
So, you know, I've always sent posts to certain things. So when they rolled this out, like it just made it a little easier for me to do that. So it hasn't really affected how I use it at all. I have kind of a little more control than I did before.
Okay.
So, but it's nice to have that extra level of control.
Well, if they first launched the idea, so now we'll start tearing it apart like we always do. When they first came out with the idea, did you guys go, whoa, this is the way it should be? Or did you say this, you know, it's another test toy? Which one did you go with? I went with, oh, it's a test toy. They may not stick with it until they were, I found out they're really serious about the whole, redoing the UI approach.
When I saw it initially, I knew that it was going to stick. I understood kind of where they got the idea to build it. So I knew this is the direction that Facebook's always wanted to go in, but just haven't gone in for whatever reason. And part of it is you need a certain amount of content to be able to pull this off correctly.
Right.
And, so having years of data does help to do the timeline. Before they probably could not have pulled it off and had it this presentable. Now, one of the things I love about it is the fact that you can post a picture and say, well, this is a picture of me when I was 10,
right.
And you can pull it down, change the data on the picture, and it shows up in the right place. I think that's brilliant, but I also see that a lot of this is going to be a problem for a lot of people. If you thought Facebook was breaking up couples before, because the stuff just doesn't go away.
So what's the comedy show Whitney, you guys, if you ever see that, it's one of the NBC show where she says they sit down at a dinner and she finds out he has a whole life before her, like you said, everything you can possibly imagine. She had no clue of any of this stuff.
Exactly. And that only perpetuates this. One of the things that really tripped me out when I first installed it and first started using it a couple months ago is I saw that one of my ex-girlfriends I had friended her every year for the last like 3 or 4 years, which means I unfriended her.
Oh, okay. I see. So you saw it in the timeline.
Yeah, I saw it in the timeline. I was like, wait a minute. We were friends. And then 2009, we were friends again. Like, you know?
Well, that
so at some point, I unfriended her every single year.
So do you show everything in your timeline? Let's ask that question.
No. Actually, I don't. Like, there's certain things that I'll hide from my timeline.
Okay.
Yeah, what do you hide, Robert?
Apparently not who he friends and unfriends.
Right. But there's most of the stuff that if I'm going to post it on Facebook, mm-hmm. It's fine, you know. I won't hide it. But there are some times where I'm having communication with certain people that is public. I'll hide those type of conversations.
Now, okay, so you go back and hide after the fact.
Yeah.
So you're having that conversation, then you'll go back and you'll hide.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But there's not just like, I actually haven't dug around deep enough to see if you can hide certain stories altogether. Like, okay. What I mean, like relationship status is, can you just hide all of those by default?
Yes. Yes. You can actually click on any status update in your, it doesn't matter if you have timeline yet or not, but any status mm-hmm. that shows up in your wall type posts and say either hide that right. individual or all posts of that type.
Okay.
So you can actually remove them permanently from your you know wall or timeline or however you want to look at it, whichever one you have right now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And yeah, so you can get rid of those. But a lot of people don't take the time to do that, and that's one of the biggest issues is they don't have the effort or the time to do it. They turn on things like timeline, like Robert saw, and there these things start popping up.
Right.
And that's why I asked originally, did you guys go back and re-verify your data before you turned it on or not? I took the approach, lock everything down first, then turn it on, and then release things as necessary. So more of a protective stance than just saying, turn it on, and then I'll go clean up afterwards.
Right.
So you have 7 days, what they tell you now, so everyone's listening can understand. You can preview your timeline. Once you get it, you have 7 days before anyone else can see it. That gives you the chance to fix it. So you have a week. According to Facebook, you can decide what to highlight, and then you can go back in and see who gets to see your stuff. But that 7 days is very important because a lot of people don't realize, I think, that there is that window of opportunity where you can fix it.
Right.
And Robert would have apparently fixed who could see.
Yep. That's exactly what I would have fixed.
Now, do you guys like the flow better than it was originally? The look and feel of your page, you like that better?
You know, I like it. It's really, really good for displaying like media things by being able sure. to feature something on your timeline. For me, like if I have like a photo that I really, really like, I can feature that on my timeline. But up until this point, it hasn't been that useful for me since the majority of people didn't have timelines. So they haven't been able to see that on my timeline. I've been the only one who's been able to see that. So it'll be interesting to see how people start using that more and more. Coming up because I would say I don't know how many friends I've got on Facebook. I have quite a few, but I would say that I only had like 5 to 10% of people who were actually using timeline like during the beta period. So it was really hard to judge how people would interact with things by visiting your profile and looking through your stuff. So I'll be interested to see how that works out.
Now, I can say one thing that was confusing, and this might just be me on a UI thing, is down the middle is supposed to be the timeline, correct? But they throw some things in between and on the line that don't fit a timeline stance, meaning the status box that by default is in the upper left is the most current thing. So it sits in the upper left always, but you'll have things like recent activity and places and things like that just sit as boxes down the side that really aren't part of the timeline.
Right. So the whole top right column of your profile is all of your applications that you have installed, your games, your music, and all of that stuff. And it sits there permanently.
Well, it's interesting you say that because it's not that way on their original demos. And it's not even that way on the help files. It's actually the apps are a little bit, you're right. They're kind of mixed in. They're blended in because some of them sit farther down.
Right.
Like a Nike GPS one they give in the examples and things like that sit farther down the timeline than those. So is there any way to just drag those around? Now that I haven't done, like just, you know, like a Kobo books. Can you move things by dragging them?
No.
I don't know. I don't know about that part. And I think that's going to be confusing to some people is when I see a new timeline, I'm not sure if it really happened just before the other event. You have to look very carefully. Or was it just a box that they're floating there?
Right.
I don't know if that makes sense, but it's a UI thing that just drives me nuts when I'm looking at someone's new timeline thing to figure out, is this current or not? Because the data isn't always apparent on all the things that they have out there. Okay. It's not just me. I didn't think I was that nuts. A little bit crazy, but I didn't think I was that nuts to understand that. The cover, though, now being a photographer, your cover must rock.
Oh, yeah. I love the cover photo stuff. It's awesome.
It's
great. I mean, I love doing landscape stuff. So, like, I'll switch my cover photo every couple days. So,
and where's it drawing from? So everyone knows where they get it from. The cover photo, is it specifically selected, or is it drawing from your profile photos, or what does it do?
Well, I'll upload a specific photo, and then it drops it into. There's a special folder called cover photos.
Okay.
So all the photos that you put onto your cover photo get stored in their own folder, so you can go back and switch between those cover photos.
Okay.
So you don't have to like re-upload like an old cover photo that you liked before. You can just go back to your cover photos folder and reinstitute that onto your profile page.
Let me do that now while we're talking about that.
Well, that's only if you're going to let everybody see your page, Robert.
Oh, well, no. Why would I want to do that?
Right, that's my point. I don't understand. I don't understand what the you're trying to make a point about it, but I'm not understanding everyone's going to see it, man.
Well, you can always subscribe. You can always subscribe.
Let's talk about subscriptions. You know, I see that, you know, Robert and I still aren't friends, but we have like 95 friends in common. But
do we?
Yeah, I'm looking at the list of people, and yeah. Okay, now, so going back, it's a great cover photo you have, and publicly, so this is what I'm seeing of your public data. So everyone knows that anyone could see this of Robert's page if they really wanted to find him. It says you have timeline. You know, it's a collection of your photos, past and present. It shows that I can subscribe to you, where you are, your 95 languages you pretend to know.
Mm-hmm.
your friends, you know, where you've been, where you've lived, things like that, your interests. So all this is on here. So I'm seeing some public timeline things like you, and this is something people need to understand as well, is when you post, depending on your default setting, not only in the application itself, but in Facebook, because there's
right.
We'll talk about that. Some things may be public, some may be for friends only or whatever it is.
Right.
And certain apps like the BlackBerry Facebook app doesn't have a default setting. So it takes what you put in Facebook as your default setting. A lot of people don't realize that. And you may have a public default setting in Facebook that then gets ignored by certain applications. So each app may have its own settings.
Right.
And yeah, people don't understand that. So I'm starting to see lots of weird things pop up on timelines they didn't think they were posting.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, so am I.
Yeah. So you know, show some of your recent activity, like who you're friends with, you know, things that you like. You have one public comment.
Apparently. Sweet.
Yeah.
What is it?
You commented on a link in a round the world ticket.
Oh, that was something on my website.
See, there you go.
That's the only thing that's up there. Besides, in December, I can see that you added 16 friends.
Sweet.
And who they
that's
are?
That's a lot.
Well, strangely, I can see who they all are though. And on mine,
yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, on mine, you. Oh, actually, let me scroll down. Ooh, there is more. Every time you change your cover photo, that's public, of course.
Right.
What you liked in November is public. More people you were friends with. Earlier in the year, here you are at a housewarming. Look at you.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that nice? So, but did you mean for all this to be public, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, most of the stuff that's there, I meant to be public. So, you know, there isn't really, I don't have much to hide. You know,
right, because you're not wearing a shirt in this one, so you're right. You don't have.
Oh yeah, I might want to hide that one.
And there's Michael way down here. There you. And there's Michael way down here in the list. So I'm scrolling. I'm just like hit the mouse and just scroll down, and you're showing up down there. And in 2011, you added 250 friends. That's amazing. To me,
I need to see that. Like, I don't know how many I've done. I've got to go to mine and see what I've got.
In 2010, he did 100 and something friends. I mean, so this is interesting to see on the timeline, you know, how many friends you're adding and things like that. I don't even show my friend list in Facebook.
Mm.
So when you look at mine, you don't see, unless we have a common friend, you won't see my friends list.
Right.
So maybe I'm just curious what made your choice, you know, do that one to, you know, pick that route.
To show my friends?
Well, not just show your friends. How did you decide what you wanted to show in your timeline and what you didn't, I guess is what I'm asking.
Well, you know, I look at Facebook as kind of this place where I I house the people that I actually know. So, you know, I won't friend someone that I haven't met.
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, I don't mind showing everybody else who my friends are. It seems to, you know, for me, it's not a privacy issue because ultimately I am going to post whatever I feel that is safe to post. You know, we in the industry kind of understand how this stuff works.
Right.
So I know where that limit is for me.
Do you know when you joined Facebook?
Hmm?
Do you know when you joined Facebook?
I don't. 07, I think.
Yeah, you were very, it looks like it's, yeah, almost like by a South by Southwest date. It was May of 07.
Yeah.
Wow. That's at this time. And that part of the timeline is very cool to me, being mm-hmm. able to narrow in and see things like that.
Yeah.
So what about yours, Michael? What do you have tossed out there?
Pretty much everything's public. I do hide just individual things, like if I was drunk at a party, I definitely try and hide those photos because you notoriously get tagged in random photos and you just don't need those out there, especially whenever your full profile's public.
Yeah, and you've got a terrific photo. You know, this there, like you said, your cover photo is amazing.
Yeah.
And we've got common friends. Yeah. This is one of those crazy things, is that we've got friends in common also. And then you've got a lot of stuff that shows up publicly.
Oh, yeah. Like, you should probably be able to see almost every link that I post, every photo that I post is probably public.
Okay. So you've chosen that path. So you may not make public all your wall posts to other friends or things like that, but the links and things
right.
like that. Okay. And that's one of the things I'm curious about when we talk about this and people start getting into it deeper and deeper and looking at their settings is, you know, Facebook has, of course, the hidden lists and things like that, that no one plays around with. You know, who can see your post? Friends, but not acquaintances, everybody, but restricted. You know, do you have a list that's even built at all? And amazingly, a lot of people never change those, right? They go with the defaults and they consider it family and friends and then they're done.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. I think, I mean, I go back and forth with family members on this. In fact, we just got like an email from a family member earlier tonight. I was talking to my aunt and she was saying like how everything tomorrow is going to be public on Facebook and everybody gets all in this huff and puff about, you know, privacy on Facebook again. And it's like they don't take the time to research what is actually changing and how they have the opportunity to change those privacy settings and the things that they do on Facebook. But then I told him, I was like, why are you saying something on Facebook that you would want to be completely private? It doesn't make sense for you to put that out on the internet. And that's the mindset I go by. It's like, I don't need to lock down all my stuff because I'm not out there saying something that's going to get me in trouble. And that's just been my outlook on Facebook.
Well, Robert, I've added you as a friend, Robert.
And I have accepted.
Beautiful. It'll show up in your timeline shortly. Everyone will.
Yep.
And it even says, yeah, there it is right there. All right, we'll move on. But that's, so everyone should know, you can go out there, you can set yourself up. If you go to facebook.com/about/timeline, you guys can get all the info you want. And then at the bottom, there's a big green button that says get timeline for yourself. Eventually, you're going to have it. Right. You're going to be stuck. It even tells you,
they will force you.
Well, even at the bottom, it shows you how many of your friends have signed up for timeline already. You know, we see Miss Sarah Perez. She's on there. Corvita's on there. A few others, you know, Amber MacArthur, Amber's on there. And then a few others that we know jointly, we won't put their names because they're not public figures per se, but a lot of people have already signed up, but you can hit the button, sign up yourself, but read the help file, visit your stuff, take the 7 days to like go through. And, you know, see what you guys have. Because I know a lot of people listen to this to get tips on to what they should change or do. I would definitely get on that one. Agreed? You guys good with that?
Well, it's going to roll out in a few weeks anyway to everybody.
Right. So get on it now.
Yeah. Get on it now. Because actually, I was actually wondering if they're going to give you that 7-day period to secure your stuff once they force you to roll over to it.
I can't see how they couldn't if they're giving it as an option now. It'll be on your page. Hey, guess what? We flipped you. You've got 7 days. You may miss the window. What if you only live on a mobile device? And I've got friends that do that. They only use mobile devices.
Do.
Right.
I do too.
You would never be there.
I mean, well, that's something we should touch on because they just rolled out a timeline for both Android and iOS.
That was our next topic, yeah.
And the interesting thing about this is that they rolled out Android first a few days prior to iOS. And this is the first, it's only notable because it's the first time any majorly used piece of software that I can recollect rolled out on Android before iOS.
That's non-Android type Google, right? We talked about that.
Right.
That's not Google.
Exactly.
That's true.
I can see why they're going that way. I mean, look at the market share for Android devices versus iOS.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just makes sense that more people are using an Android device than an iPhone.
Right.
Well, you say that. They've got what? 5% market share they're shooting for of this. I forget how it reads, whatever the number is. It's huge with both, but it seems that most developers go for the iOS first. And for them to choose Android, do you think it was easier to do on Android to get it approved into the market faster?
Definitely. The Android market is much faster to get things approved. It happens, you know, instantly, almost. So there isn't an approval process that similar to how Apple goes through the iOS apps. So you post something and it shows up and it just, you know, within a couple hours, everybody can download it. So certainly in that respect, it was much easier for Facebook to get through that process with Android.
Right. Of course, I'm now loading it up on my Android device since I did the upgrade shortly, just a while ago. And also, everyone should know that if you have multiple devices, a cool feature that I turned on is the ability to notify you when a new machine or device or something accesses your account.
Right.
I've turned that on.
Yep. Just so you have it. Yeah, I've turned it on too. So you get an email that says, hey, this device is, you know, accessed. And if you see something unknown or don't know what it is, then at least you've got some sort of, ability. Oh, here it is. What's new? When I launched Facebook on Android, it came up and said, what's new? Check out improvements in navigation, menu, and search. Take the tour or no thanks. So they've even gone so far as to build in an automated tour system into the new Android client.
Right. And I believe the iOS version had something similar to that as well.
Sure. I think that's cool, though. And now what I like is you're able to actually, and this screwed you on Android before, you can see your notifications without losing your place in the newsfeed. Before, it would throw you out entirely. And you'd have to go back and start over, so you'd have to scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll. It really sucked, to be honest with you. And then you can search for anything now, games, anything without switching views with the left-hand side, you're now able to search. So the tour is three screens, just so y'all know. It's not.
Nice.
It's not.
I'm downloading it for iOS right now because I didn't see this update. So, I'll tell you if it has a tour on iOS here in a second.
I'm glad you could join us, Michael. So
yeah,
we could go. It's fun.
Right. So we can all walk through the pain and suffering together.
Yeah.
So I updated it. I also updated iOS, but I need to. Yeah, it's a good point. I actually need to go through and probably do the same walkthrough on that one. But I went ahead and updated the Android one. I hit the list feature now down the left, and it looks just like the iOS iPad client to me. The newsfeed, the messages, all that stuff. It looks exactly the same.
Right.
So not only have they, like you said, created a rollout here first, but they've pretty much made a ubiquitous client, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Which is notable because developing this stuff for Android is significantly harder than it is for iOS. So for them to pull off a very similar look and feel is definitely very notable.
But humorously, the web doesn't look like this.
Right.
So all the clients look like this. The web, not so much.
I think we should expect an update from the web at some point.
Probably when this timeline gets forced down, I bet you that left-hand side, that big white space, that's what's coming. That's what you're saying.
Yep.
All right, folks, you heard it here first. We've been right on Google social stuff. We were ahead. We had bets and we almost bet the exact time. Caleb came up with that one. I think he knew something, but he didn't tell us. Corvina had one last year that she was right on the money. Sarah is usually right on top. So Robert is saying new timeline, left-hand side, everyone gets one UI.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you're wrong, then so be it. We suck. All right.
Yeah.
Real quick, a fun one. We got to talk about them in the first part of the show. We have a new sponsor. It's what helps pay for the bandwidth to keep everybody listening. Mosey Pro. Going back. So this is the enterprise edition they want us to focus on with everybody, not just your personal backup solution, which they do offer, but online business backup. We all know about it. 70,000 businesses, they're starting to use it. It's backed by EMC, who knows storage. I know personally, we've used their SAN devices for years inside of there. It's a multi-user environment. You can schedule backups for your machines. You can monitor the health of your backups. They have online chat that you can deal with if you need help setting up. Their data centers are all compliant, SSAE audited, ISO certified. The whole thing I'm familiar with. You know, I deal with SAS 70 Type 2 environments and everything else every day. But the good part also is the secure access anywhere. I thought this was pretty cool that they have a mobile app. So you can give access through your mobile devices to your actual files. You can download and use your backed up files. You can see company files. You can view them. That's based upon, you know, what your device supports. You can email things as an attachment. So it works for Android. It works for iOS. Anything you possibly imagine. So they got a whole bunch of solutions out there. The link is in the show notes to get to. Data loss happens to everybody, as you guys know. Hope you guys have never lost data, have you, ever?
Oh, yeah, unfortunately. Yeah.
Did you have a backup locally, like a little hard drive or something?
No.
Ooh. I had a whole hard drive disappear on me without being backed up.
Ouch. I've had that once, but luckily I had a terabyte hard drive, but it was sitting there on a terabyte hard drive basically on the desk, right? So that doesn't help if that would have died, but it supports Windows 7, 2008 Vista, XP, 2003, all that stuff, servers as well, and Mac OS X 10.4 and higher. So
nice.
We should definitely thank Mosey for approaching us and saying, can you please talk about us? All right, moving on. Yeah, look at the pricing on the web. I'm not going to go through pricing because, you know, it's difficult to understand half the time because I don't know how much data you all have. It's based upon the amount of data you back up for your business.
Right. Oh, terabytes.
It's only terabytes. All right, what do we have next? Oh, Dropbox. You guys use it?
I do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Did you see their announcement today? We talked about this a little bit before we started.
I heard something that they were trying to go after, like an iCloud kind of a thing.
Let me bring it up.
I didn't get to read much about it.
Let me tell you, their blog fired up today. Actually, moments before we went live, they have announced version 2.0 of their, once again, Robert, here you go, of their Android app.
Mm-hmm.
2.0 their Android app, completely redesigned, ton of new features. Favorites, bulk uploading, file renaming, ice cream sandwich support, single tap access to actions, an approved gallery view. You can export and upload from local storage, a whole bunch of stuff. So it's now in the Android market for 2.0.
Right.
I will say all the services, Box, Dropbox, I'm finding I'm using more and more because each of us uses something different, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dropbox every so often will come out with a game to get you more space.
Yep.
Yeah. If you guys haven't done, if one of our listeners hasn't gone through one of the free games to get more space, you're killing yourself.
Right.
Cause you
can that.
Yeah.
There's that, and then there's also, I don't know if people have realized this, but I mean, you can put out like AdSense advertisements for less than $10 and fill up your ad space because people will sign up with your referral link.
Oh yeah, the referral link is huge. That's you get what? How much do you get for? You guys know how much you get per referral?
It depends on which account you have. If you have the free account, I think that you get 250 megabytes for every referral up to an extra
couple gig.
I think that's up to 4 gig.
No, it's huge. It doesn't matter what it is at this point. You're getting, I mean, if you're not using it and totally maximizing it, you're screwing yourself.
Yeah, I use it constantly.
Well, and now that they have this new 2.0 client, I think I'll be using more on my device. I don't use it on the device. I do use it on the iPad, but I don't use it as much on my Android for any reason, but I think this would actually give me better access.
Right.
So, okay, so that's out. That's as of today, and that came out on Android. I don't know. Was it out on the iOS's 2.0 first? I can't see it listed in the
blog. I don't think so. I don't think the version 2.0 is out on the iPhone as yet.
Humorously, I'm reading, and I don't see it on their
blog.
No,
I don't even.
Mentioned. Okay, so another one on Android first, Robert. Look at that.
Yeah.
Two in a row. Oh, here it is. And as of a month ago, the official Dropbox guide to getting more space. We'll go ahead and put a link to this. Simply doing some extra space besides pro, being a student, telling your friends, taking a tour. 250 meg free for everyone you invite that signs up via your link. That's there all it go. Says. It doesn't say a maximum anywhere. It just says it's all you have to do. And now they have Dropbox for teams. So if you have a team doing everything as well. All right.
Nice.
We'll get away from Dropbox, but we wanted to bring that up since they just came out. You want to do SOPA? Should we do it?
Yeah, I think we kind of have to, even though at this point it's kind of mute until some point next year. But I definitely think we should talk about it.
Yep. SOPA and the Protect IP Act. There's a good article out on Black Web 2.0 that actually our own Wayne Sutton wrote. He wrote it today. Gosh, look at him. Mm-hmm. GoDaddy is part of it as well. Wayne has the four page, I believe it's on Scribd. It's four pages. He has it embedded in the article. It is four pages of people that are behind this act itself.
Right.
You go through it, Robert, if you want, or either one of you, Michael, either one of you, go through the whole downfall of this thing.
Well,
so much to it.
Well, yeah, the overview. So a lot of people aren't familiar with it all.
You want to start on this, Michael?
Go for it.
Well, I mean, I could start kind of commenting on what he just said, that a lot of people don't know about it, which is, it's interesting. I mean, only the people that are really on the internet that much. I mean, like, we live on the internet, and we're the ones who are spreading this. But if you talk to somebody else who's involved in doing something else that's not internet related, they have no idea what this even means for them. Mm-hmm. They don't even know it exists. And if it wasn't for, you know, Reddit and some of these other big online communities, there would be nobody talking about this, to be honest with you.
Right.
So it's really, I mean, if you don't know what it is, Stop Online Privacy Act, they're all the big entertainment industry companies are trying to get together and basically make it illegal for you to even use any snippet of anything that would be considered copyright infringement, which we all do. We all use it. You put up a video on YouTube with somebody's song in it. That's copyright infringement under this, and YouTube can technically be shut down or blacklisted. So right. It's
and they're quick about, YouTube is quick about bringing down, if you play anything up to a few seconds of it, they will take your post off. They're quick. That's why we license our own music for even these shows. I licensed it all. Shout out to Single One Studios for that, but they made our beats for us for this. But so, and I'll let you keep going, but it was done October 26th. It's what is it? HR Bill 3261, and it was Representative Lamar Smith of Texas and a bipartisan group of 12 initial co-sponsors. So it's not that old, but it builds on a previous act of 2008, right? The Protect IP Act.
Right.
Right.
So people should understand it isn't that old yet, but it's huge. The Stop Online Privacy and things, and you brought up one good point, is such a backlash is going on. There are actual events going on to move your domains off of GoDaddy, that who's a backer of it now, to dealing with this company because they're a backer. The guy from Y Combinator said no company that's a backer this is allowed at the Y Combinator stuff.
Yep.
Right.
So there's
which is going to be interesting.
That's good. I haven't. Plus Paul Graham, I'm guessing, said that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Paul Graham. Mm-hmm.
You got it. So what does it mean for business innovation? They have a good thing on here that they link to, an infographic that they link to, and I won't run through it all, but we'll put it in the show notes, gives people the idea. It gives the U.S. government and copyright holders the authority to seek court orders against websites that traffic in infringing, pirated, and counterfeit intellectual property. The problem is the definition of things, like you said, they were sampled or infringed or counterfeit. So they can take down anything based upon a name, right? And they can seize. And a lot of this government, so they've been seizing domains and everything else all around there. Our podcasts are probably off the air, guys, so get it quick. Just because we're talking about it. But the concerns were, is it invasive? The ISP's got to inspect all the traffic. You know, is it going to be censorship or what's it going to be? You guys can keep going, but that gives people a little background of where this came from.
Right.
Well, Robert, go ahead, man.
Well, I think on the surface, it's interesting that this keeps coming up every couple of years. And, you know, the entertainment industry primarily is who's behind this. And they're becoming more and more aggressive at approaching this in different ways. This is probably the most aggressive approach that they've taken since the last attempt a couple years ago. So I expect this to now.
Okay, sorry. You sounded like I lost you.
Hey, still there.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can still hear.
So, but from the standpoint of somebody who, you know, and Chris, you can chime in on this. Technically, it would be difficult to implement this. And at the end of the day, it's us tech people that kind of run things.
Yep.
And getting a mandate from the government, there's been many cases where the geeks per se have said, no, we're not going to do it that way. And I think this is one of those things that would meet some serious opposition in that respect.
Yes.
Right.
And the Department of Justice has to notify a site owner, and then they could get court orders. They can block you totally. Basically, DNS block, as you were saying, as Michael was saying, you can totally DNS block. So that means right. that all the ISPs would have to abide by this, and or they could go up to, I guess, the, you know, root level domain name servers, but say, do not serve this domain because they are infringing on something.
Right.
It's the something right. that's very blasé in the current ruling, and I should say wording, not ruling, but the current wording that's behind it.
Right.
You know, they're talking about venture capitalists, and that's just way too far out there. I'm not even going to go that far myself personally. I don't say we're that far where venture capitalists will say, oh, now I don't want to do it. But the backing they have is pretty big. When they posted this infographic, it had 16 in red and 7 in blue for the Stop Online Privacy Act. And then the Protect mm-hmm. IP Act had 21 blue and 16 and one independent that were backing it. And that was the Patrick Leahy sponsor.
Right.
The funny thing about the people that are backing it, that I read an article yesterday or the day before, I wish I could remember what site it was on, but they were saying that in congressional campaign funds that were contributed to these co-sponsors of the bill, it amounted to something like $2 million in campaign contributions to back this bill. And then the author of the article went on to say that To put this into perspective, the entertainment industry is giving these congressmen $2 million whenever the box office return on the new Chipmunks, Alvin and the Chipmunks movie, is going to top $40 million in the first weekend alone.
Right.
So really? It's like Alvin they're not the they're not real Alvin and the Chipmunks is going to they. So the point being, it's like for such little campaign contribution to these politicians' campaigns, the entertainment industry is basically spending nothing to get this pushed through
right.
to protect them. That was kind of the case that they were making, and it doesn't. I don't want to make an argument on that specifically, but I mean, there's so many things going on with this bill, and I understand the need to protect people's, you know, copyrighted materials and things like this, but I mean, this bill just takes things so far, and it makes the punishments so harsh to those people that I just don't see how this could work.
Well, everyone should know
with
that
this in place.
Well, right, it's mainly trademark dependent companies or ones like you brought up that are big on copyright, but trademark dependent, like Nike,
right.
Sony, Nintendo, and then onto the MPAA and one, you know, Recording Industry Association of America, all, you know, all these things that are behind it. Dell, I think, is in there. Microsoft's in there, I believe.
Yep, Dell, Microsoft, Sony, McAfee.
But on the flip side, opposers are things like Yahoo, Twitter, and Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Or on the,
right.
On the flip side, how would you like them to say, you know what, someone posted a video from YouTube that had a link to this copyrighted material, so you need to shut down both of them.
Right.
It's possible.
Right, and then there's also the issue with them being able to go after, say, like PayPal. Like if your site accepts right. PayPal donations, but you host, one piece of infringing content, then they can tell PayPal they can't do business with you anymore.
Yep. Well, the list is pretty big. Like I said, it's a scribe document. I presume it'll get bigger. I mean, there's things like Comcast, NBC Universal, CBS, Capitol Records, on and on and on. BMI, anybody that's in music, TV, all that stuff, they're in here. And of course, the right. law firms that represent them are in here too, in case you didn't know.
What's going to be interesting to see is whether or not there's going to be a reaction. And I think from my standpoint, I think the reaction from the tech community should be to try and circumvent this by doing exactly what the entertainment industry is doing. You know, pick your politicians and you support them and have them rail against this stuff for you. And that isn't happening yet. You know, so I think the voice is ultimately the pocketbook is what's gonna support this. You know, so what I think needs to happen is we need to pull together as a tech community and say these politicians have our back and we're gonna support them, and they'll end up fighting this for us.
Yeah. There will be a lot of fighting going on that way as well, easily. There's a lot of reading to do on this for everyone that's listening. If you haven't done it, there's a few things you can really read, and it'll simplify. The infographic's really cool, but I think a lot of you should just read the basic articles. So we'll link to a bunch of those out there. And there's tons of things that are coming out all day. It's filling up my streams. The SOPA stuff is filling it up right now.
Mm-hmm.
From the companies not allowed it, like you said, Paul Graham said it at the Y Combinator demo day, to the GoDaddy stuff, all of it out there. So that's the total. What else do we have on the list?
I don't know.
Didn't we have something?
New Twitter.
New Twitter. We didn't talk about the new Twitter, for gosh sakes, where we live our life. Oh my gosh. How could we not have done the new Twitter? So we went through the new Twitter. Then we went through new. And then soon, I think they snuck in the new and the new Twitter almost at the same time, it seems like. Luckily don't have the new Twitter on my web interface. I'm stuck at new. I'm at the you know what? Where I'm stuck at N squared instead of, where I'm not past N cubed. I'm at N squared right now. I have the standard home profile messages, who to follow at the top. But Robert, mm-hmm. I know you're farther ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, I try and stay ahead of you, Chris, on most topics.
I know you do. So go ahead about the new interface.
So I've been using it primarily on the mobile device.
Okay.
For the last, I guess, week or so. I've just logged on to the web interface tonight, and it's basically looks similar, functions similarly. The buttons, they've changed from, I think it was timeline, and you had following.
Replies
and messages. And now the messages are completely hidden. And that to me is the one thing that is really disturbing me, because a lot of times I communicate through messages with a lot of people. Primarily, I probably send more direct messages than I actually post tweets.
And I know this to be true because I text Robert and I get a tweet back.
Right.
Robert has 13,698 tweets.
Yes.
And that's pretty, I mean, you're going at it. There's people that do a lot more, I know. But does the new interface, do you even use the web? Let me just ask that question. Do you even use it?
Very little.
Okay.
No. Very little. Sense. I use the desktop application for the Mac, and I have the iOS app. But I also use other apps like Tweetbot.
Okay.
So,
let's pick. What's your favorite app on your devices? Go. Your favorite app that you use on each one. Suddenly it got quiet, didn't it?
That's tough.
You want me to start? I'll start. On the BlackBerry, it's Uber Social. Most mm-hmm. definitely. This is my global one. I travel the world with it. It's the one that works everywhere. When I spent freaking 3 weeks in South Africa, it worked flawlessly. So I use Uber Social for that. On the iPad, I'm running Tweetcaster now. I dumped everything else. I love Tweetcaster. I think it's fantastic so far. And on the Android, I just use the built-in one, honestly, because I hardly use it. So there you go. Oh, what about the desktop? What do you guys use on the desktop? Let's go.
Well, for me, I'm kind of in a transition phase here. So, like, whenever the new Twitter stuff came up, and then TweetDeck integrated with Twitter. Twitter bought TweetDeck, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so I just, like, 2 days ago downloaded the new TweetDeck. I hate it. I don't like it.
What about the web? Did you use the web one? I'm sorry. Did you use the web one yet?
The actual just twitter.com web interface?
No. TweetDeck or launched the web interface. One. Yeah.
I have not used TweetDeck's web interface yet.
Okay.
All right. But TweetDeck was definitely my go-to application on my desktop. I'm going to have to take some getting used to the new app or look for a new one. Mobile, I used the basic Twitter, you know, the old Tweety version. And when it switched to this new stuff, I'm not sure I like it as much. I may be finding another Twitter application. I don't know. I don't like it. And I don't know if it's just a personal preference thing or if there's just some usability thing for me. I haven't quite figured it out yet, but I'm not loving it right now. So I don't know. I'm going to figure that out.
Yeah. My desktop, I go back and forth, honestly, between using just a quick web interface, just to, you know, peek at it, see what's going on, to I used Mixero for a long time. You guys may not even know that client. Some people do, but I used Mixero for a long time, loved them, and it just kind of lost its, it wasn't updating fast enough to, for me and what it did. So right. from that point, I peek in and out of the web, but I mainly use the mobile clients or, you know, the one on the iPad. It's pretty much where I live now.
Right. Well, I, you know, one of the things I use on the iPad is Shiny Tweet.
Okay.
And I really like that one. That one's pretty cool. But yeah, I use the regular Twitter stuff that they put out. That's what I use on the mobile client, and that's what I use on the desktop.
But they say the web, and why they keep updating it is the majority of their traffic.
Right. Which is kind of shocking to me.
It's hugely shocking to me. That's why I brought that up, is to me, that's, I can't even believe that that's where the, still the majority of their people come from, but they're saying it is.
Does that include people going to like m.twitter.com?
You know,
it has to.
I would think so, but even do a lot of people still use that? There's better mobile web clients that exist than that one, than the straight, you know, mobile.
I do agree, but I also think that we get, as tech geeks, we kind of get stuck in this mindset that everybody downloads apps and everybody does this, but I know plenty of people who have Android phones or iPhones that don't even really understand the concept of downloading apps. They just go to the mobile website. So, oh, I want to get on Twitter, so I'll go to twitter.com, and it auto-forwards them to m.twitter.com. So I think we have to like get outside of our little tech bubble for a second and look at what the general population actually does. So I would beg to say that we probably do see a lot more people using the web interface and the mobile web interface than we would think.
Yeah, see, and I think that people still use whatever clients on their damn phones. And that's why I was thinking, if everyone's using, you know, they keep saying, oh, mobile's the way it is, you would think that that would be their largest base, is a splattering. But then if every, that's true. If everyone has so many different mobile clients, then the web could be the largest one.
Right.
Right.
You know, it's one of those kind of deals where, you know, yeah, everyone has a mobile phone, but which one's the largest one? Well, there's too many of them is the problem, even though they're all pretty much the same across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't see the new one. Do you guys like the new interface? Because I don't see it. To me, it's all the same thing.
I'm not thrilled.
I'm not either.
Okay. Well, if you're not going to use
I do like the one thing that I do like, and just being, you know, involved in media, is I like the fact that photos, you know, they show up in the timeline as like large photos. I mean, you don't have to click through on a link to see something, like if I post a picture. So so that's kind of nice. But at the same time, I'm scrolling through my timeline right now, and nobody's doing that.
Right. Well, I think in order for that to work properly, actually, you need to post it to Twitter as a photo. So that's part of their API. So if you're not doing it that way, if you're attaching a photo some other way through a link or whatever, it's not going to show up in a similar fashion.
Gotcha.
It's got to use their embedded media service or whatever you want to call
right.
it.
Right, right.
So I clicked on somebody here, and it has recent images, and I think all these images, yeah, they're from inside of Twitter itself. It's not ones that they're just linking to. So that makes a big difference as well. You got to upload. I think it's Lockers is what they're using now. Isn't that where it'll show in stream now?
Yeah.
Okay. From the mobile clients, I think it's like Lockers or something. So that's one thing I wrote about a long time ago, was how, so Michael catches up a little bit, I guess, but everyone else that's new to listen to our podcast, you know, thank you from a new domain who's syndicating us. But we run Everything Twitter. Corvita and I started everythingtwitter.com, which is a catalog of tools based upon categories. So we've got, you know, 1,000 and something in there. We were slowly seeing not only the slower rollout of them, not just because people are saying, oh, there's such a saturation, it's because Twitter is bringing in so much ability that you just don't see the clients coming out the door anymore. They're, you know, think about it. They're competing with every third party app maker there is and bring it into the product for free. Why would I develop an app that someone wants to pay for at this point?
Right.
I think one of the coolest ones I've seen, and I have to get the name, this guy, we met him at BB DevCon, developed, you guys will like this. So let's say you want to see all the tweets during a TV show. Well, you guys VH whatever, you know, put it on your DVR, right? So you can't see the show. You're going to watch it later. He has a Twitter app that does the same thing. It stores, you set it for the time of the show or whatever, and it stores the tweets for that time, like a DVR, and you hit play on that as when you hit play on the show, and it actually is real time. It'll play back the tweets in the order of which you'd be watching that show.
Nice.
That's pretty cool. That would actually, and that would work for conferences and events and things like that too. That's kind of interesting. Gotcha. I mean, I don't know if he actually has it set up for that, but that's what I would use it for, because I don't look at like TV tweets. I don't follow any TV shows like that. So
let's give him the proper credit. The name of it is, give me 2 seconds here. It's under social somewhere. Here it is. It's called Tweaks, TWEEX. And we met this guy at BB DevCon, and he had just happened to have written this app, TWEEX. So it's for iPad and iPhone and stuff. No Android or anything else, sorry to say, but he wrote this app. So I thought it was pretty cool. Things like that they're unique.
That's a cool idea. I like it.
Yeah, everything else right now, we're finding a lot of the stuff that's being submitted is the same old thing. Manage your followers, graph a timeline. There's nothing you can do new that someone either hasn't done or that someone would pay for that Twitter isn't trying to build into theirs. That's the way I feel about it. But then again, I don't have the new timeline, so I don't know. I'm still apparently back a couple news. I don't know why, but that's the way I am. I mean, I'm still seeing the who to follow button, for gosh sakes.
Right. Yes, now now you have Discover.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about it, Robert?
Like I said, I'm not too fond of it. I don't think it's as functional as it was before for me. So,
well, I think the one thing I'm curious about with this Discover function is it using like the trending hashtags to determine like stories and linking to stories? Because I've got a completely random assortment of stuff in my Discover feed, mm-hmm. and stuff that I'm not even remotely interested in. Right. So I don't know how this is exactly working.
Honestly, couldn't tell you. It's to me, it's disappointing because I'm having the same experience. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't really pertain to me that's showing up in my Discover feed as well. So I've stopped using it. Like the Discover portion of it, I ignore. You know, I stick to my home and my Connect, but I'm really not spending any time with the Discover portion of it. And I wasn't before anyway, so it's not what I use Twitter for.
I do actually like on the Connect functionality that it now includes in the list of things that are going on and in order, like who follows you, who retweeted mm-hmm. you, when people added you to lists. Like I just see Chris added me to a list.
Yep.
So I do like that because I don't actually check my email stuff for any of that.
Right.
I basically filter it all out with Gmail filters into a separate folder that never gets checked.
Right.
So yeah, that's kind of nice. So then I can actually check the people who are following me and see if they're worth following back or whatever.
I added you to my new list.
Is what I sweet.
To the social geeks. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Robert.
One of the things that's interesting with that portion of it, to be able to see who's followed you, is that you can now like draw correlations between sometimes you follow one person and four people follow you.
Right.
I followed a newspaper a couple days ago, and there were three or four other followers from that region, the newspaper outside the country, that followed me immediately. So there has to be a correlation between those two.
Right.
Two things happening, and you can easily draw that now.
Well, I'll hit you guys with a couple this big things that were news just as of today, and then we'll finish up because we're right on time. But if you want to hit one of them, you can. I thought this one was interesting, is that Rhapsody topped 1 million paying subscribers, which with all the streaming competition with Google Music, with Spotify and the others, Rhapsody hit 1 million. Their president shaved his head to prove it. That was the deal.
That's actually impressive. I did not know that they were still even in the running. Yeah, or in existence, yes.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Exactly. They apparently did it. Now, this one, I want to talk about this. I love this. If you guys want to support something that I thought was very cool, Louis C.K., his digital distribution mm-hmm. experiment,
Yeah.
$5, get a copy in 12 days. He broke $1 million.
Right. I love what he did with that. That was awesome.
Come on, $5. Download it, burn it, whatever you want to do. $5. Please just buy my show. I'm getting rid of the middleman. I produced it myself. I have to pay for this damn bandwidth. That's what he said, mm-hmm. basically. It's amazing. That's why we have a sponsor for our shows, everybody. So we can pay for the bandwidth. But, you know, think about it. He more than paid for the bandwidth. He said, what was it? Couple hundred thousand was his total site setup, recording his crew to do it. He put the cost out there of how much the 3-man camera crew was, the sound. Go ahead.
I think it was something like $175,000 is what he invested into it. It was like $140,000 to do the production, and then he said like $32,000 to build his website though. And then I was kind of questioning that. I was like, why does his website cost $32,000? I don't know where.
Well, because he's Louis C.K.
Right, that's true. Scaling, he should have done it. You know, they're not one of our sponsors, but people would have joked and said Squarespace or something. You know, just paid $8. You know, put it in there for $8, then right to it. But he broke $1 million. Congrats to him. For anybody that hasn't seen it yet, get out there. You can download it. And what is it? It's $5, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's $5.
Jeez, you're getting a whole show for $5. It's like renting one nowadays. You know, we pay more than mm-hmm. that.
It's like a cup of coffee.
Well, I don't drink coffee, but you're right. That is like a cup of coffee. For some people, that would be like just their morning start, right? Some people go back two or three times during a day.
Yeah. I usually do four a day, 3 to 4.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Cups of coffee?
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, he gets all fancy. He gets his mochas.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I know. At South By, you did work carrying around a little fancy cup, weren't you?
Mm-hmm. I was.
Oh, man. Now we know. Now we know how to get you. I promise you coffee all the time. The only last thing that I saw that was big was out there that was interesting to me was the new Facebook launch suggested events based on check-ins.
Yeah.
So how does this one read? I think who wrote this? Josh wrote this one for TechCrunch. If you actually check in somewhere, it now suggests events based upon where you checked in.
Right.
So things that are going to take place at a venue. I don't understand how this works.
Is that Facebook or Foursquare?
It's Facebook suggested events.
Oh, really? Foursquare has been doing that for about a month now.
No. This is okay. Here's the example. Let's say you went to the Fillmore. Well, it's going to tell you now under suggested events, even if you weren't invited to it and you don't have any friends that have RSVP'd, it'll say, hey, the Band of Skulls, the Granada, all these people are coming up because you've been to these events. I mean, not to these events. I'm sorry. You've been to these locations. You should know about these events that's coming on.
Right.
People like PlanCast and Eventbrite, things that are kind of doing this. But so now I'm checking into Facebook. I'm saying, oh, I'm near a place, or I'm checking to play. Oh, you should be going to this one, even if no one else is going. So this is kind of an interesting thing they're going after.
Well, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how this is affected, how effective this is, because I know me personally, I barely use Facebook events. I barely check in to places on Facebook. So
I never do.
Yeah. So, and a lot of people don't. So it's going to be interesting to see how they figure out how they tie those things together if you're not actually using Facebook in that way.
Well, it's the idea from them is to get rid of third-party event discovery apps. You need to come to Facebook to even know about that. It hasn't been rolled out. Oh, wait, no. It was testing the feature. This was just posted today, but it's now been rolled out to the entire user base. It also can give you suggestions based on the music you listen to through Open Graph apps.
So Spotify.
And check in via Foursquare or don't share your location at all.
So essentially, what they're going to be able to do is I'm listening to, I don't know, just band A, and that band is coming to a venue that I've checked into before. They're going to then give me some special message to say that they're going to be in town at that venue.
Yep. On the right-hand side, you will now see a section called Suggested Events.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it'll say, tomorrow, Infected Mushroom will be at the Fillmore. You've been at this place before. Maybe you should go see him.
Right. You're getting a little psychedelic there.
Well, I'm just reading the actual samples they have on the web.
Oh, okay.
I'm going exactly where it is. So now, here's what's curious about this, though. That means that the more things you do and you put on your timeline, the more things they suggest. Restaurants, dining, music. So think about it. The more places you put, the types of places they get categorized, the more things they can suggest for you.
biggest recommendation engine in the world.
And it, you know, I'm looking at it now, and it's suggesting things from my friends.
Uh-huh.
It's suggesting things from bands that I like.
Yep.
And it's not just the local area. It's from all over the place.
Where are you guys even seeing this? I don't even know where this is.
If you're looking at your profile, if you're looking at your timeline on Facebook.
Okay.
Not your timeline, I guess your profile. Your wall.
Or your wall, or your homepage, whatever you come into.
So the news feed.
Yes.
Yeah, the news feed.
Up on the right.
If you click on events.
Events.
It opens up and shows you suggested events.
Okay. Yeah, I see it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Hmm. Oh, interesting. Yeah, this is going to be a good way to spy on friends.
Yep. And isn't that what Facebook's all about? Finding better ways that you can spy on your friends?
Oh, man. There's got to be like an award for the world's most efficient Facebook spy.
Well, yeah. I bet you there is, and I bet you there's going to be a book on it soon. How to use Facebook to learn everything you want to know about everybody. Cool. That's a good one. Another hot tip from us that just launched apparently now. So
yeah, maybe we should write the book.
Well, right.
You know what? Unfortunately, we could. And what scares me is people would buy it. Is that they'd want to know everything you could possibly know about somebody and how to find it just from Facebook.
That doesn't scare me, because at the end of the book, we should tell people how to prevent people from stalking them.
Well, that's true. Right. We have a separate... No. That's a separate book. Then you buy the, buy the bundle.
It's a series.
Right, you buy the bundle.
Save 10%.
10% for buying both together or buy each individual. Either way, we'll help you out. All right, let's tell everybody how to find everybody. We're almost at our hour. Let's tell them how to find us. Robert, your normal drill. What are you going to do?
RobertMurray.me that's web. My blog. There's @RobertMurray at Twitter. That's how you find me.
Anything else you want to promote right now?
Working on a secret project. Can't divulge it right now.
But, is there anything you want to promote? Was the question not to tease us and taunt us profusely?
No. It's better to tease people so that people keep coming back.
All of a sudden, you're Caleb. Caleb did that to us for years. Every time. What about you, Michael? Introduce where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @MichaelCummings, just my full name, and I think I've got links there to my blog and everything. So Facebook's easy. I mean, not Facebook, Twitter.
Any company photography site you want to point him to, or anything else?
I mean, my photography, I go under the company name Dreamin' Pictures.
Okay.
And I do, you know, I go around the country shooting large conferences and events generally. That's it. Yeah, that's pretty much it, you know?
Well, if you want to hire him to do some pictures, we've seen a few. They're pretty impressive. If they're, you know, we presume those are his, because he hasn't been shut down by SOPA. So we presume those are his. Everybody knows where to find me. It's @IDoNotes on absolutely anything and everything that's out there on the web. Any site, anywhere, anytime, that's where you find me. I will be down in Orlando in about, well, actually after our next episode, I'll be down there the week of January 15th at the big IBM Lotus conference as usual. So if anybody, you'll be following along. If you're going to follow my tweets that week, you'll see a bunch of Lotus stuff. Just so everybody knows, there'll be a bunch of IBM nonsense going on that week entirely. And a lot of check-ins from down there, because Foursquare is a major player. We set them up, and we actually mapped out an entire conference center with Foursquare. So I've worked with Tristan, helped me with that. Thank you to Mr. Walker himself. So, all right, everybody. We will talk to everybody again in 2 weeks. Episode 42 is done. You two hang on, and everybody else, we will talk to you then.